Does size matter when it comes to your cubicle?
I think it does. Well, I feel valued by real estate.
Okay, but I'm not sure everybody in this town agrees with you. For example, five of the largest agencies tell a House panel that they are trimming the total square footage per employee by at least 50%.
Well, they can take away closets, they can take away half of the bathrooms, they can take away half the conference rooms, and that would get the square footage down totally, but maybe...
Yeah, does that mean a smaller toilet?
Well, I don't know. There's someone that knows more than us.
That's right. Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller, is on the line with us now. He's got details about shrinking federal office space. Hi, Jason.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
All right, Jason. So fill us in. How much space should federal employees expect to be getting?
Well, I think everyone's going to get half a toilet to start. So that answers Tom's question right there. No, but in all seriousness, it's going to be different across every agency. But what's clear is that the Defense Department, the Justice Department, Health and Human Services, Homeland Security, State, and even Social Security expect the average square foot per employee to be much lower over the next 3 to 5 years. Norman Dong is the commissioner of the General Services Administration's Public Building Service.
GSA is focused on improving utilization throughout our portfolio, including in our lease space. We hold more than 375 million square feet of space, half of which is distributed among 9,000 leases across the country. And we're working with federal agencies to improve utilization throughout our owned and leased portfolios. And as a result, we've saved millions of dollars for our federal partners and for the American taxpayer. For example, in our fiscal year 14 prospectus-level leases, GSA and our partner agencies proposed a 13% square footage reduction, going from 4.3 to 3.7 million square feet. We're doing this by helping federal agencies adopt new workplace arrangements and develop more mobile work strategies so more people can work in less space.
So as you heard Mr. Dong say, it's less space for more people. What does that mean? Well, that's a question Congressman Lou Barletta also asked. He's the chairman of the Transportation Subcommittee on Economic Development, Public Buildings, and Emergency Management. He said to each witness, so how much are you going to allocate per employee? So let me go through this. HHS, 170 square feet per person. State, DOD, SSA, they're on the high end of no more than 200 square feet per person.
I wish my dining room was that big.
Justice is on the low end, 130 square feet per person on average, and DHS is right about in the middle of the two of all of them, about 150 square feet per person. Now, as you guys talked about earlier, to be clear, these are averages, and some employees will get a little bit more, some employees will get a little bit less, but these are the averages per employee. But as you can tell, no matter what's happening, the office space is being reduced, and that means more employees per office.
Well, Jason, does this somehow relate to the administration's Freeze the Footprint initiative, which talks about gross space occupied by the government itself?
Right, Freeze the Footprint, absolutely, it does relate back. Obviously, it's a much broader initiative. This was what White House launched back in March 2013 to really look at underutilized properties. But also, agencies had to create baselines of how much office space they had and how much they wanted to reduce it by. They had to come up with plans. And this is what we're starting to see now, is that the plans are starting to come to fruition. But while they just are kind of getting started, it's just been over a year since Freeze the Footprint started, it's really over the next 5 years this is a great opportunity. And Congressman Barletta says, so far, so good. The year's been good. But leases on 100 million square feet of office space are expiring in the next 5 years. And GSA, he says, has a huge opportunity to improve how they manage office space and how much the government spends on office space. So Barletta is coming up with an idea to help GSA with this effort.
I'm very concerned that we're going to miss this opportunity if we continue with business as usual. So I am open to considering a pilot program for a limited amount of time, which would simplify the leasing process and give you greater flexibility to cover your upfront costs. The leases would need to have good utilization rates, be long-term and competitive, but in exchange, you get a fast-track process.
Now, each of the witnesses said yesterday that, well, the pilot could be helpful, but really they say Congress needed to do more, which is really help them pay for the cost of consolidating office spaces. What people, I think, forget on Capitol Hill sometimes is there is a cost to move, 40 or 50 people from one lease to another, into another office space. Now, Congress did give GSA about $70 million in 2014 for what they're calling their Total Workplace Initiative. Now, this is helping agencies right-size their workplace, and GSA actually pays for the transition costs, specifically around furniture and technology. Norman Dong from GSA says this year the agency is asking for $100 million in 2015. Now, E.J. Holland is the HHS's Assistant Secretary for Administration.
We, in fact, are taking very aggressive advantage of Mr. Dong's described, both at the Park Lawn Project in Rockville and at the Switcher Project here. We couldn't have done those projects without that help. My observation was to the point that this is a problem all the time. We've got ways to solve it here, and we have, but I'll have other opportunities, and there, even $100 million is not unlimited, and Mr. Dong won't always be able to meet my needs. A more thoughtful private sector type way of handling capital investments would be helpful.
Now, obviously, that HHS is just one example of several where GSA is using these funds to make this consolidation process easier. Dong says the total workplace program has been a force multiplier for GSA to help consolidate leases. And again, every agency on the panel yesterday really did talk about how much leases they are consolidating or planning to consolidate, again, over the next 3 to 5 years.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. So, Jason, let's talk a little bit about the Homeland Security Department, because it's got a big consolidation plan right here in the district, and yet Congress hasn't been really letting it go forward with that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, DHS is one of several, but I think that's DHS is one of those programs that's one of the most watched programs over the last few years. And you're right, there's been this back and forth between Congress and the administration. You know, Congress gives them a little bit of money, then they take it away, and the administration doesn't ask for enough money. So this project gets, you know, is fits and starts, and then Congress yells at DHS for not moving more quickly. So Jeff Warner is the Chief Readiness Support Officer at DHS. He says the goal is to reduce 10 million square feet of office space at 50 locations for DHS just in the National Capital Region itself, so the Washington metro area. One example of this is the Coast Guard. Now, the Coast Guard moved into new headquarters in the St. Elizabeth's complex earlier this year, and more employees are coming because of these new space standards of 150 square feet per employee. Listen to this exchange between Orner and Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton.
It's my estimate that we can put up to an additional 1,000 people into the Coast Guard headquarters building. The Coast Guard has various offices and lease space in Arlington. Our plan is to move all of those people as those leases expire into the new Coast Guard headquarters building.
So you think you could get the entire Coast Guard into that one building?
The entire National Capital Region Coast Guard.
Yes, of course.
Yes, and that'll save the Coast Guard roughly $7 million a year in rent. And we may be able to put a couple of other offices on top of that. So we will achieve over the next year and a half to 2 years significantly greater density in that building.
And the Coast Guard's not alone when it comes to DHS. FEMA is another one. Norman Dong from GSA says FEMA has increased the utilization rate of its headquarters buildings in Washington as well. He says they've closed a number of leases that they held in the Washington metro area. Now, for next year, 2015, for this DHS project, GSA has asked Congress for about $58 million to complete the infrastructure needed to, what they call, fully occupy the center building complex and move more employees to St. Elizabeth's. Now, when they say the center complex building, that's part of a multiple number of buildings in St. Elizabeth's, but so they're adding one more set of if you will, employees into that complex. Along with DHS, the Defense Department also is going to seek further space reductions. William Brasis is the Defense Department's Director of the Washington Headquarters Services.
Under BRAC 2005, by the end of 2012, the Department of Defense has shed over 3 million square feet of our lease space inventory in the National Capital Region, primarily by relocating to government facilities on military installations, both within the NCR and outside of the NCR. Today, WHS is engaged heavily with the General Services Administration in our plans to continue to substantially reduce DOD's overall NCR lease space portfolio and our cost over the next 5 years. In the current program budget review, the Secretary of Defense has directed another 20% reduction from our 2013 NCR lease space levels, commensurate with reductions in DOD headquarters.
Now, Brazos says DOD is using GSA's space management tools to optimize space usage and increase utilization across the board. Let me give you just a couple more examples here. Justice Department expects to reduce its leased space across the country over the next 6 years, where it has 900 leases scheduled to expire. And the State Department actually recently acquired 7 acres across the street from the agency's Potomac Annex took over the land from the Navy, it's actually will build buildings and consolidate lease space into government-owned space in the coming years as well. So I think, as you can see, that every agency is doing something, so employees really can expect pretty significant changes over the next 3 to 5 years in terms of where they work and in what size space they work in.
Jason, a couple of questions on that report. One, when they talk about the average space per employee, 200 feet, 144 feet, that doesn't mean that an employee necessarily gets that exact square footage. A cubicle is, what, 6 by 6? That's 36 square feet. And your chair has about a 4 by 4 space, so that's 16 square feet. Don't those figures also account for all of the public space and the data center and so forth and the conference rooms and the restrooms?
Well, it definitely accounts for all the public space, the restrooms. I'm not sure about the data centers per se, but you're right. What they're saying is we're going to reduce the amount of space we control, we manage, we pay for, and we're going to put more people in the space that we do have. So, right, it's not that you're going to lose. You're going to be kind of very small in a corner, but at the same time, there'll be more people in your offices. And I think part of the reason is there's been this history of underutilization where, you know, it was easier to lease a building that's already been built out than to build a new building out. And I think that's what the big push has been over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, really has been also to move from lease space to government-owned space. And I think that's part of it, too, because sometimes government buildings just aren't as big as some of the commercial ones.
That was my next question. Are there commercial standards for knowledge workers, like most federal workers, as to what the average ought to be for optimal productivity and having room to have meetings and so forth?
Well, one of the things that E.J. Holland from HHS said was, you know, he worked in the private sector for the majority of his career, and he said that, you know, a lot of the private sector has already done this space reduction over the last few years. I mean, you hear companies, I know one of them, one federal contractor, Accenture, for instance, they're all about hoteling and teleworking, and, you know, no one has a desk, you just come in, you plug your laptop in, you have your phone. So that's something that the government is just starting to do now. I mean, GSA is a big proponent of that, and I think it's just catching on at other agencies. Whereas, you know, Accenture and other contractors have been doing this for years. So I think this is one of those areas, again, where the government's playing a little bit of catch up.
All right. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.